Okay, so welcome back, everybody, to our Beis Medrash Monday Night Learning. We are in the middle of our series on Inyanei Chanukah, on topics of Chanukah, and tonight we're going to speak about the bracha that one makes when he or she sees the Neros Chanukah, the Chanukah candles, and more generally, the role of Re'iyah in Neros Chanukah. The role of Hadlaka in Neros Chanukah, kindling the lights, that goes without saying, right? We don't really have to speak too much about how significant that is. That is the mitzvah that Chazal were mitaking, that they established for us. But what about the role of Re'iyah? What about the role of seeing the Chanukah candles? So let's begin from the Gemara in Shabbos, Chav Gimel Amad Aleph, which tells us, Hamar Avchia Bar Ashi Amar Rav, Hamadik Ner Shal Chanukah Tzarech Levarich, one who lights the Neros of Chanukah makes a bracha, Lahadik Ner Shal Chanukah, Rav Yirmiya Omar Haroesh Ner Shal Chanukah Tzarech Levarich. Rav Yirmiya says that one who sees the Neros also makes a bracha. And it becomes clear later in the Sugya, and according to Rashi, on the spot there, that the bracha that one makes when he or she sees the Neros is Sha'asa Nisim Labosenu Bayomi Mahim Bazman Azeh. So we have the bracha of Lahadlik and the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. I'd like to begin tonight or frame our discussion by analyzing first why it is that we make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim on the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. So we're going to outline three different approaches that emerge from the Rishonim and even earlier from the Gaonim. Let's start with the She'iltos of Rav Achoy Gaonim, source number 3. The She'iltos says, V'chadmati yoma d'Yisrachesh lehu nisa li'Yisrael. When a day on which a miracle happened for Klal Yisrael arrives, kigon Chanukah u'Purim, mechayev levruchei baruch asher asa nisim la'avosinu bizman hazeh. So when, on that day, one is obligated to make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim, it's a little bit of a different nosach. Okay, it's the same bracha. B'chanukah al shraga, on Chanukah you make it when you light the candles, and b'purim al mikra megillah, when you read the megillah. So according to the She'iltos, according to Rav Achoy Gaon, why are we saying Sha'asa Nisim? The second bracha, it's going to come up in a couple weeks, we're all excited for it. We're going to be lighting the candles. We say Lahadik Ner Shal Chanukah, then we say Sha'asa Nisim. Let's understand why. Why are we saying Sha'asa Nisim? So according to the She'iltos, what are we accomplishing? How would you characterize this bracha? Any volunteers? So I think what the She'iltos is saying is that it's a bracha on the day. Right? When you have a day that is a miraculous day, so to speak. Right? We want to commemorate the miracle of that day with the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. So it's a bracha on the special character of the day, and that's why he groups together Chanukah and Purim. Dovi, any argument on that? So let's quote the source that Dovi was very excited about during the learning before. The Beis Yosef quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah. Fascinating position. Rabbeinu Yonah says, you know when you should make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim? When do we make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim? You make it before you light the candles, in the middle of lighting, after you light, what do you do? Before. We say all the brachos before we light the candles, right? Rabbeinu Yonah says that that's not true. It's not correct, in his opinion. Right, we paskin like the Ramban, we'll see it in just a couple moments, but Rabbeinu Yonah has a different position. Rabbeinu Yonah says, you know what make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim? Before the new candle that you light that night. So if it's the sixth night of Chanukah, you make Sha'asa Nisim right before the last candle, before the sixth candle. Why? Clearly, what Rabbeinu Yonah has in mind is that the additional candle is marking the special contribution or addition of that day. Each new day of Chanukah is, in its own right, is a miraculous day. And therefore, we should mark it with the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. So Rabbeinu Yonah is ascribing fundamentally to the same position as the She'iltos of Rav Achoy Gaon, and he's adding another point. He's saying maybe it should even be prior to that new candle. So the first position and why we say Sha'asa Nisim is to mark the miraculousness of the day. Second position comes in source number 4 from a more esoteric sefer called the Sefer HaParadis. This is from Rabbeinu Asher ben Rabbeinu Chaim Navyu. He lived in the 1200s in Spain. On the source sheet I wrote down, this his last name Navyu is an abbreviation for a pasuk in Tehillim. Ki nafsho bechayav yivarich. Nafsho Yivarich Viyoducha. That's his last name is an abbreviation for that pasuk, that one lives his life with his soul blessing and praising God. So the Sefer HaPardes writes in a fascinating way, and this is actually also, it's alluded to by the Ramban as well, more classic Rishon. So the Sefer HaPardes says, Alanirli, why do we make a bracha on seeing the neros of Chanukah more so than on other mitzvos? We know that lighting neros Chanukah is a commemoration to the miracle that happened in the Beis Hamikdash. Vahavale, listen to this. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that when we visit a place where Hashem performed a massive miracle on our behalf, we make a bracha. What's the bracha? Sha'asa nisim la'avosenu b'makom hazeh. Says the Sefer HaPardes, and again it's alluded to in the Ramban earlier, that that's the same bracha that we're making when we see the Neros Chanukah. When you see the Neros Chanukah, it's as if you're experiencing the miracle yourself. It's ki'ilu, you're in a place where a miracle was done. You're seeing that the mechanism through which the miracle happened. You are reenacting the hadlakas haneros that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. So you say, sha'asa nisim la'avosenu b'yom ha'mahim, azman hazeh. Thank you, Hashem, for giving us a miracle through these neros. Fascinating position. So that's the second approach, that it's not a bracha on the day, but rather a bracha called the Birkas HaRi'iyah, meaning that when you experience a nes, or the place that it happened, or the mechanism through which it happened, that's the addition here, we make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim.
Why wouldn't that fit with Ruben Riona? We can say that's also his rationale. He just happens to say the right time to say it's within the candle.
So I don't know why he would pick out the new candle as part of as saying that. Meaning, even if you only lit, what makes the new candle better for the bracha than the earlier candles?
The only thing that would be able to be smart.
That's what I think. Yeah. Okay. Now, the third approach to why we say Sha'asa Nisim comes from the Balei HaTosfos and is followed up in the later Achron. Tosfos in source number 5 is bothered by why there is a bracha on seeing Neros Chanukah, which again, at the very beginning of this year, we identified as the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. Why do we have that bracha specifically for Ner Chanukah and not for other mitzvos? If you look at source number 5, so Tosfos says, Haroa Ner Shal Chanukah Tzarech Levarich, Bishar mitzvos, when it comes to other mitzvos, Kegon Alulav Sukkah, an Alulav or an Sukkah, Lo Takinu Levarich Laroa, Ela Gabi Ner Chanukah. Chazal established a bracha on seeing a mitzvah specifically for Neros Chanukah, but not for other mitzvos. Tosfos is bothered why. So what the Achronim point out is the assumption of Tosfos' question. Why would Tosfos be bothered that we don't have this bracha on other mitzvos? Only if they characterized the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim as a Birkas HaMitzvah. Then I can wonder, why do we make it on this mitzvah and not on a different mitzvah? If the bracha were a bracha on the miraculousness of the day, or it was a bracha on experiencing the miracle yourself, so then the question wouldn't start. Why do you make it on Chanukah and not on Lulav and Sukkah? Because those elements don't apply to Lulav and Sukkah. The whole question assumes that Sha'asa Nisim is a form of a Birkas HaMitzvah. It's a bracha that I'm saying on the mitzvah that I'm doing. And therefore, I can ask, why did Chazal say I should make it on this mitzvah and not on other mitzvahs? Clear? So we have three different approaches to why we say Sha'asa Nisim. And I want to delve most into that last approach, into the final approach of the Balei HaTosfos. Namely, that this bracha is a bracha on the mitzvah. This is strange. Is this the only bracha on the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah? What other bracha do we have on the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah? Lahadlik. Why do we have to have two? Why do we have two brachos on the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah? So Tosfos in their first answer says, Mishum Chavivos Hanes. This mitzvah is a very beloved mitzvah to us. It's a very special time in the Jewish calendar. Chazal wanted us to really, you know, really get everything out of it that we could. So we make two brachos on this mitzvah. Okay. Perhaps there's something even more fundamental. Take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, in source number 6. This is Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein. And this may be alluded to in an earlier Rishon, in the Sefer HaAguda, Rabbi Alexander Zuslin HaKohen. But the Aruch HaShulchan says it very clearly. Aruch HaShulchan writes as follows. V'hacha gabi Chanukah, ha-mitzvah hi ha-ri'iya, liros ha-neros kishadolkin, v'zehu ha-pirsume nisa. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, a magnificent chiddush, that the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah is not just to light the candles, but it's also to see the candles burning. V'lachein tiknu bracha leharoeh. That's why we have an additional bracha for the person who sees the candles. That bracha is not on the miraculousness of the day, and it's not on the experience of the nes. It's a birkas hamitzvah. But it's a birkas hamitzvah on seeing the candles burn. And the persume nisa, the publicity of the nes that's experienced when you have that, when you see it. When I see the neros, I'm able to internalize the fact that a nes took place. That conveys to me the information that there was a nes in the past through my ri'ya. That's why I make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. Dovi was pointing out earlier that the words of Sha'asa Nisim don't sound like a birkas hamitzvah. Usually when we say a bracha on a mitzvah, we say Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu ... lahadlik ner shel Chanukah al netilas lulav lishmoa kol shofar. Sha'asa Nisim labosinu doesn't sound like a birkas hamitzvah. So the way to explain how it is a birkas hamitzvah is to say that it's relating to the persume nisa aspect of the mitzvah, which I accomplish specifically by internalizing what the lights are expressing. They remind me of the nes that happened. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, continuing in the next line, Av b'ner Chanukah, ikara de mitzvah havei ha-hadlaka. No one's going to argue with the fact that the essential part of the mitzvah, the primary element component of the mitzvah, is the kindling of the lights. Kimoshim evarchin lahadik ner Chanukah. That's why we say lahadik. But don't be mistaken, says Rabbi Chiyo Michal Epstein, ela shagam hari'iya mitzvah. Light seeing is also part of the mitzvah. V'lachin haroa mevarech sha'asa nisim. So if this is the case, that there are really two elements to the mitzvah, lighting and seeing, what I want to analyze even further is what exactly is the relationship between those. And what I mean by that is, are they two completely distinct and separate fulfillments? Or is there some relationship between them? There's some bond between them. And I want to try to answer this question through the lens of the sugya that most bears out the idea of ri'iya, which is the sugya of birkas haroeh. Earlier in the Gemara in Shabbos Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, so it told us, haroeh ner shel Chanukah tzarech levarech. And this is an incredible chiddush, that if one sees Neros Chanukah, even without lighting them, him or herself, under certain circumstances, you would still make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. You didn't light the menorah. You saw someone else's candles. That's called the Birkas Haroeh, which under certain circumstances would justify the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. The question is, that's dealt with in the Rishonim, is when is that bracha justified? There's a massive machlokas in the Rishonim. Three different opinions. Maybe a fourth, but we're going to deal with three. Three different opinions as to when this bracha should be made. So let's begin with the Rashba, source number 9 on the second side of the Hebrew Marmakos. Says the Rashba, Mistabra, makes sense to me, that when should one make this bracha when seeing others' candles? Bishelo hidlik, if he didn't light yet, velo hidliku alav bisoch beso, and his family did not light on his behalf, v'ino asid lahadik halayla, and he's not going to light later on that night. For the Rashba, this bracha is very rare. It applies only when you have no connection to the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah whatsoever, other than you're having seen someone else's neighbors. So if you're going to light later that night, certainly if you already lit, or if you're going to light later that night, or even, this is the Rashba's Chiddush, even if you're never going to light, but your wife or family is going to light on your behalf, you don't make the bracha. And indeed, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Rashba. And that's why I would venture that none of us have ever said the Birkas HaRoeh. Has anyone here ever said Sha'asa Nisim when seeing someone else's lights? No. Because all of us are either going to light ourselves or have someone else who's lighting on our behalf, or we're on a plane and we're not seeing any candles. So there's no Sha'asa Nisim to me. Although it happens to be, just as an aside, going back to the previous discussion, the Me'iri has a very oft-quoted position. The Me'iri argues that you would say Sha'asa Nisim in that plane case. You're on a plane going to Israel in the middle of Hanukkah, or wherever you'd like, and there's no Neros, and you're going to miss that whole night. The Me'iri says you say Sha'asa Nisim. Why would that be? Because for the Me'iri, Sha'asa Nisim is not a bracha on the mitzvah of the Neros. What is it? It's on the day. So if it's on the day, then you could say it even without the Neros, according to the Me'iri. We don't pass in like that Me'iri. We're more hesitant, and therefore, you know, Safik brachos lahakel, we're not going to say the bracha. But that's a great nafkamina. Another nafkamina for the different approaches to Sha'asa Nisim. When should I say the bracha? So we said before that we all say Sha'asa Nisim prior to lighting the candles. Why? Because we want it to be like a Birkas HaMitzvah on the candles. And a Birkas HaMitzvah almost always precedes the mitzvah. That's what we call Over Lasiyasa. Happens before the mitzvah. But the Me'iri quotes another opinion that says, no, you should dafka do it afterwards. Why? Because if it's more of a Birkas Shavach VeHoda'a, it's a Thanksgiving type of bracha, so then we say it in response, not in advance. So that would be another practical ramification between the approaches. Okay, getting back to our story with the Birkas HaRoeh. The Rashba says we're almost never going to say this bracha, because you're only going to say it if you have no connection whatsoever. And as I said, that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. So for the Rashba, when you are saying the Birkas HaRoeh, that person who sees Hanukkah candles and lives alone, doesn't have anybody else lighting on his behalf, not going to light himself, he's going to say Birkas HaRoeh. What justifies that bracha? Why is he making the bracha? So what seems to come out from the Rashba's opinion is that the Birkas HaRoeh is like a substitute mitzvah. There's really the Iker mitzvah, which is the Hadlaka. And when you do the Hadlaka, when you light the candles, you say Sha'asa Nisim also for all of the reasons that we said before. But when you can't light and you see someone else's candles, Chazal still wanted you to be involved in the mitzvah. This is like a second tier of the mitzvah, which is that you can't light, but at least you can see. But as long as you're connected to the mitzvah in any other way, so then there's no point to having the second tier, because you're connected to the first tier. That's the Rashba. And as I said, that's how we paskin. But there are two other opinions in the Rishonim that, even though we don't paskin like, they shed light on the nature of Re'iyah of Neros Chanukah. So let's go to the opposite extreme first. The opposite extreme is that of Rabosav Shal Rashi, Rashi's Rebbeim, and also it seems its way from the Rambam. For purposes of time, I'm not going to read this inside. But what they say is that you would make the Birkas HaRoeh, you would say Sha'asa Nisim when seeing someone else's candles, as long as you saw them before you lit yourself. So if you're on your way home from work, and, you know, it was a late night at work, it's 6:30. I guess that's a decently late night, but not for Noah. Okay, not for all those accountants out there, or lawyers, but or anybody, I guess, nowadays. But so you're on your way home from work at 6:30, and you see someone else, okay, they lit their candles already. And you're going to light when you get home. According to Rashi and the Rambam, you would say Sha'asa Nisim at that point. Oh, asks Laser. So what about when you light again later? So this was a further machlokas. Okay? So the Or Zeruah, Rabbi Yitzchak Or Zeruah, he says, you shouldn't make the bracha again later. You already did it before. Right? So that makes sense. If Sha'asa Nisim is a bracha on the day or on the experience of the menorah. So I can understand, if you said it earlier, why are you doing it again? Right? And even if it was a bracha on the mitzvah, maybe the mitzvah is the ri'yah, you did it earlier. Right? We don't have any problem explaining why, if you said it earlier, you shouldn't say it again when you light. However, the ritva, take a look at source number 10. This is too good not to read inside. Second line in the bold. Yesh omrim, shemivarich ala ri'yah, v'chozer umivarich b'sha'a shemadik. And this is the simple interpretation of the Rambam. That one would make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim twice. Once when you see them, and then again when you light the candles. Have we ever heard of such a thing? Making the same bracha twice on what seems to be the same mitzvah? Now let me, yeah.
It's a stretch for Talas. The bracha, I guess the mitzvah is on the Antifas Talas.
Right. You're saying like, mitzvah tzitzis and lesafif tzitzis. And even there, a lot of poskim say that if you know you're going to be putting on the talis gadol, you shouldn't make mitzvah tzitzis, right? Yeah. Kiddush.
Like if you're diving at a shul and the minhag is to say it as part of the tefillah, then you go home and you say
kiddush. Or you say kiddush earlier and you do it again.
You still have to have it b'makom suda. Right. It's the same bracha. In Achinami, it's the same bracha. But I guess, like what you're saying, we have to find what. Whenever you're going to repeat something, there's got to be a reason why you would repeat it, right? And there's a lot of counter pressure to saying unnecessary brachas. Clearly, there's some very good reason why we're repeating it. So that's what I want to know.
Do you want to kind of then saying that the scene in general is its own mitzvah and then doing your own thing at home is a different, separate thing?
Oh, so that, yes. That's what I want to try to explain. Yeah, I want to just try to flesh that out a little bit more. Exactly what Hanan's direction, I just want to flesh it out. So let me throw in one more opinion to the mix to try to highlight the idea that I'm trying to develop. There is a middle position. Okay, so far we've outlined two polar positions. The Rashba that we passed in, like, that you almost never say it. And on the other hand, the Rambam who says everybody coming home from work is going to say it. Then there's a middle position. This is in the also another opinion in the Ritva and lots of other Rishonim, who say that if you're not going to light yourself, then you say the bracha. Even if your family's going to light on your behalf, still that doesn't exempt you. You still say the bracha when seeing other people's candles as long as you yourself are not going to light. Yeah? Here's the question, though. Here's the question. According to that opinion, clearly what emerges is that it's better to say the bracha when you light than to say it earlier. Right? Because again, we only say it if you're not going to light later. What's the implication? That if you're going to light later, you should wait to say it. Why should I wait? Why not say mitzvah haba liyadcha al tachmitzena? Why not say that we shouldn't delay the mitzvah? I see the candles, I should make the bracha. Why wait until I have to light? So these two opinions, the Rambam, according to the Ritva, and this middle opinion, what they highlight, and this is the crucial point, what they highlight is a connection between the lighting and the seeing. The Rambam says that even though you said the bracha earlier on the candles when you saw them, you should repeat the same bracha when you do what? When you light the candles. So that you have the bracha on the seeing juxtaposed with the bracha on the lighting. The Ritva says what? That you should specifically wait to say the bracha until you light. Because why? We want to have that bracha on seeing the candles together with lighting the candles. What is this idea? So what I would suggest is that if, as we said, there are two elements to the mitzvah of Neor's Chanukah, There's the element of the mitzvah of lighting the candles. That's the Maisa HaMitzvah. That's the act that Chazal told us to do. And there's also the effect of the mitzvah, the persume nisa that one internalizes when seeing the candles, and that itself is also part of the mitzvah. So then the ideal form of the mitzvah is to have those integrated with one another. To do both at the same time. It's not that there are two totally separate and distinct ideas and fulfillments here. If that were the case, then according to the Ritva, you should just say it right when you see the candles. And according to the Rambam, there would be no reason to repeat the bracha. The only reason to repeat the bracha or to wait until you're lighting the candles is because there's some added significance to saying this bracha of Sha'as HaNisim specifically within the context of the lighting. Because we want to have a juxtaposition between the lighting and the seeing. That these two elements we're trying to convey are not separate and distinct, but rather they come together to form an integrated whole. That the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah is a hadlaka that leads to a re'iyah.
Is that why we don't wait until after we light to say Sha'as HaNisim?
So, because it's also part of the mitzvah. So the Sha'as HaNisim is also part of the mitzvah. That's why we don't wait until after we light. We group it together with Lahadlik, because it's also part of the mitzvah. So you're making two brachos on the two elements of the mitzvah. Yeah, Ita.
Somebody on the previous page was around how the Sha'as HaNisim is on the day.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've heard we say the bracha once when we go at night and once when we go during the day.
Good.
How would you explain something like that? Where on the day, you can only say it once, not twice. We also, for the Megillah, I've heard you say it directly adjacent to the Megillah, and you say it twice for the same action.
Correct.
So how could it not be on the action as opposed to some other kind of amorphous type of thing.
Right. So you're arguing if it's on the day, so I should only say it once. So that would get to the relationship between the night and day of Purim, which is interesting. Meaning, why do we repeat the Megillah to begin with?
That's another question.
But I'm saying that if the repetition of the Megillah reflects two different zones of the day, so to speak, like there's a nature of the night of Purim and there's a nature of the day of Purim.
But it's on the day.
I hear you.
I'm not even going to say it on the day, too.
Right, but maybe that's exactly the difference. Because maybe Purim has a unique difference between the night and the day. But I hear your point. It's well taken. I'm not saying it's an answer, but it's something that would go into the answer. And the second point, I guess, is that it does seem from your question that it goes more on the mitzvah. Right. Every time you do the mitzvah, you say this bracha. But that works well with like the Aruch HaShulchan here, right?
Yeah, right. So it's something that goes together with the mitzvah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a separate bracha on the Persume Nisa aspect of it. Here's what I'll say. It could be, I didn't want to get so involved here because I thought it'd get too confusing. But it could be that the Sha'as HaNisim on the mitzvah could be on the Pirsum HaNis, which is true with regard to Purim. But when it comes to Chanukah, you have this entire additional institution of Birkas HaRoeh that you don't have when it comes to Purim. And what that may indicate is what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, is that it's not just a bracha on the Pirsum. It's a bracha on another part of the mitzvah, on the Re'iyah. And that's what still distinguishes the Sha'as HaNisim of Chanukah from Purim.
Yeah, that's a lot. Like what you say on Purim, like if you walk by something reading the Megillah, right, that's the Pirsum. Would you say Sha'as HaNisim if you walk by the candle through?
Right, so absolutely not. But that would be, exactly. Okay, good question. But just to get everybody back on track, okay?
Wouldn't it make more sense based on that logic? It should be done around the light of time. Both of those shikas agree, but then it should, if it's on the Re'iyah, then it makes more sense for it to be done after. Kind of like, I think, what the Shiltos and the Sefer HaParnes are saying. It seems like they're saying, if it's on the mace, you should first see the mace, so at the fire, and then see the bracha.
Yeah.
So at the same time, it's a halakha.
But we can't forget that we're still characterizing it as a Birkas HaMitzvah. I have a mitzvah to see something. So I know I'm about to see it because I'm about to produce it. Right? So I have to make that bracha in advance of that sighting. I think that's what comes out from this idea that we say Shasa Nisim over Las Yasa. Okay, so just to bring everybody back. So what we argued here is that this idea of connecting the lighting and the seeing is really emphasizing these two different aspects of the mitzvah. The hadlaka and the ri'iyah. Each one carries with it its own bracha. I wanted to bring a little bit more evidence to this thesis, so to speak, that there's an integration between the hadlaka and the ri'iyah in Neiros Chanukah. So there's a fascinating discussion as to whether a suma, someone who is blind, is obligated in the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah. We're not going to do this entire topic right now, but I just wanted to show, to demonstrate from one source, something that you know corroborates that buttresses the approach that we've said tonight. If you look at source number 13, the Moruk Tzia of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, so he says, Kasu achronim zal b'shem rashal the ma'arishal Rabbi Shlomo Luria, desuma yeshbol b'hadlik, that a blind person should light Hanukkah candles, but adds the Moruk Tzia, v'efshar modu d'mi kol makom eino mevarich. Perhaps everybody would agree that he shouldn't make a bracha. V'hachi mashmali nami, what's his proof that a blind person should not make a bracha on Neiros Chanukah? Mid amrinon haroe mivarich. From the fact that the Gemara says that it's the one who sees the candles who makes the bracha. And then he says, even if you'll tell me that a blind person is obligated in all other mitzvos, why should Neiros Chanukah be different? Mihu b'mitzvah detalya b'ri'iyah v'adai shayin. When it comes to a mitzvah that's dependent, that's totally wrapped up in seeing the candles, so there we're going to distinguish between this mitzvah and others when it comes to a blind person.
That'd be for both brachos, or just for chasnis?
For sure, he's talking about lahadlik, which is fascinating. He's talking about the ri'iyah impacting the lahadlik. Even though he can do the ma'isa of lahadlik, he has someone helping him kindle the neros, he can do that act. But says the Moruk Tzia that because he cannot see the neros, therefore he should not make the bracha on lighting. What do you see? Exactly the approach that I've tried to stake out tonight. That there's an integration between the lighting and the seeing. That the lighting is supposed to produce a seeing. And therefore, when you have someone who, unfortunately, Rahmana Litzlan, is not able to do so he's exempt from the mitzvah. He should do the mitzvah anyway, but he's exempt from the mitzvah so much so that we would say he doesn't make the bracha. Mishneh Berurah Paskin said he doesn't make the bracha. Many other achronim disagree. I saw quoted from Moshe Feinstein that a suma would make the bracha. So, you know, just if anyone, you know, ever happens to light candles with you know, the blind. But nonetheless, from the Rav Yaakov Emden's, you know, conceptual perspective, this very much supports the idea that we've been discussing. Yeah, Tali.
So we talked last week about how the obligation is on household.
Yeah.
Are in a house where it is, like, I know a lot of people nowadays have a custom for every member of the household to light.
Right.
But if you don't, and one member of the household is lighting, mm-hmm. does everyone who's there say Shas Anisim?
So I think the one person who's lighting would say Shas Anisim, and then everybody else should say Amin to it, so that way they, you know, they're also saying the bracha on the day.
So it's not separate.
Right.
Because if you're not lighting at all, and you see
because
the candle,
they because
then you say
yes, what you're saying is it. What you're saying highlights exactly what we're saying because the family in that case is yotzei through the person who's lighting, right? And they're yotzei the mitzvah. The mitzvah consists of both of these components. So therefore, they're not going to make a bracha themselves on the Sha'as Hanisim. Now they should say amen to it because wanna. And also for purposes of the bracha on the day and the experience of the nes. But as we saw in the Rashba, which is the way that we paskin, is that as long as you're included in someone else's hadlaka, you could be thousands of miles away and you wouldn't make any brachos. So that would be, I think, the same here. One more piece of the... okay, I'm going to skip one thing. But I was so excited about it. Can I do it? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do it. Okay, so there's in source number 14, there seems to be a stira, a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. We pointed out before that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Rashba that we just said, that we almost never say Birkas Haroeh, because as long as you're included in the Hadlaka of your family, so then you don't say the Bracha. However, the Shulchan Aruch comes in source number 14, Taf Reish Ayin Zayin Gimel, and he says something bewildering, that if you are in a city where there are no Jews, so you're not going to see any Neros Hanukkah, then even if your family is lighting on your behalf, your family here in Fairlawn is lighting for you. You're somewhere where there are no Jews, there are no Neros Hanukkah. What should we have said? Shouldn't do anything. Go to sleep. Right? You fulfill the mitzvah through your family. That's what we should have said. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. He says, in that case, you light the candles with all the brachos. What's going on? That's a black and white contradiction. And it's not me who's pointing this out. The Gra points this out. What's the answer? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from one of the Achronim, the Maimer Mordechai, says something amazing. It says like this. Everybody is obligated to see Neros Chanukah. Usually we all fulfill that. When we light the menorahs ourselves, we also see the candles. Good. Let's say we're not lighting ourselves. Well, at least as if we live in a city with Jews, we're going to see other people's Neros. And says the Rashba that if your family lit on your behalf, so then you did the primary mitzvah of the lighting through them, and you also saw the candles. So you fulfilled both dimensions of the mitzvah. Says the Maimer Mordechai, when you're in a place where there are no Jews, you have to see the candles. So that means that you're going to have to light them in order to see them. Once you have to light them in order to see them, you should make all the brachos. Why? What happened to the lighting that your family did for you? So I think what emerges from this comment is that you see clearly that it's better to fulfill the mitzvah in an integrated fashion when you're doing the lighting and the seeing together, rather than to separate between the lighting that your family would do and your own seeing. So much so that it justifies making a bracha. That's the resolution to the contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. And again, it supports our notion that what we're trying to do here is have an integrated kiyum of lighting and seeing. And if this is the case, then we can explain also the practice that some have to not only light the candles, but to sit next to the candles for a little bit of time. Some of the poskim say for half an hour to, you know, bask in the light of the candles, so to speak. If you look at source number 15, Shuvos Vanhagos of Moshe Sternbach, quotes from the Sefer Chavos Yair, that one should sit with the candles for half an hour. The Iker Mitzvah Hishiyah Madek Eitzel Aneros Chatzi Shah, Lir also some to see them. The Hachi Mashma on the third line, Masha Amru, what we say every night in Haneros Halalu, Ein Lanu Rishus Lehishtamish Bohem, Ela Lir Osam. We don't have the right to use the candles. Ela Lir Osam. But what they are designated for is for us to see them, for us to internalize the messages of those lights. V'lachein haroeh gam kein mevarich, says the Chavos Yair. That's why the person who sees the candles makes the bracha, because of this role of the re'iyah. So again, we can understand why we would want to spend more time looking at the candles if we understand that the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah is not just the lighting, but it's an integrated kiyum of the kindling and also the seeing. The idea from a machshava perspective that seems to emerge from this approach, that there's a dual kiyum, a double element in the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, is something that I've heard often from my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig, that the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah strikes the perfect balance of being one that is both outward and inward at the same time. The mitzvah of Neros Chanukah is perhaps the greatest mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa that we have on the books. We try to do everything possible to publicize this nes. We specifically put it outside back in the day, right? Or on the opening, on the, you know, the opening to our homes, so that everybody can see it. We want to be mefarsim this nes. That, I would argue, is the Maisa HaMitzvah. We kindle the lights to make them accessible to everyone around us. But at the same time, there's also a re'iyah. There's an inward experience. There's looking at those neros and internalizing the messages, the themes of Hanukkah and everything that they represent. We light the neros on the Pesach, that's true. But not on any Pesach. As we spoke about last week, on the Pesach of the bayis, of the private place, the private residence. Because neros Hanukkah straddles the line between private and public. And it shows us that, yes, we want to broadcast this miracle to the world, and certainly to the Jewish community. But at the same time, so much of Hanukkah is strengthening the values that we have in private. That which Antiochus and the Yevanim wanted to destroy. The private inner life, the inner sanctum of the Jewish people. That's the Re'iyah of Neros Hanukkah. And when you take those two together, you integrate the Hadlaka and the Re'iyah, the kindling and the seeing, so then you have the juggernaut, the mitzvah of Neros Hanukkah, which is indeed a mitzvah, chaviva hi ad ma'od, one of the most beloved mitzvos that we have all year round. Wish everybody a good night.